Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Well, welcome to the studio, Lauren.
Hello.
I almost said Lauren again.
It's all right. It's okay.
My whole
That's
life.
Like, I don't
like
know
when
you.
People don't put like, an H, I'm like, come on, it's Sarah.
I know, like I know. We don't know each other.
Literally. Well, my mom calls me by your sister's name all the time, so it's okay. I'll just respond to okay. Mom, bro. Right. It's fine.
Oh, do you get a bra too?
I do. I have a 13-year-old son and an 11-year-old son.
And do you guys hate it? Do you guys hate it as much as I hate it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's a term of endearment. And then sometimes it's bro. Really annoying. Oh, bro. You know, it's fine. I'm getting used to it.
I find it aggravating. When my son bras me, I'm like, what is happening?
Like, be like, no. I birthed you. You do not call
me
bro.
No. Is it bro or bra? I think they say bra.
Well,
bra.
I mean, there's
B-R-U-H.
Yeah, it's bruh. Like bruh. Bruh. Yeah.
Oh, it's
my
fine.
Lord.
No. It's a new transition.
How old's your son?
So I have three. The youngest is 7, almost 8, then 11 and 13, all boys.
And the 11 and 13-year-old are probably the ones that do it the most.
Yes, but you know, if the little one is around his brothers, he wants to be like the
my
big
young,
boy.
My youngest
so
will do
will,
it too.
And she would call it to me.
So Charlotte's broad me before. Uh-huh. Yeah, because she hears Ben say it.
Oh, that's so,
so sometimes
funny.
I just call him bro right back.
Okay.
Bro, clean your room.
Okay.
It's fine. It's good.
The best is when they're on their PlayStation and you come up and you like say something really embarrassing to where their friends can hear it.
Bet.
Mom.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No cap.
Right.
I got real.
Oh, I don't get that no cap, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's.
It's like an understanding, right? Or like.
I don't know.
No cap.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like no lie. Yes.
No lie. No cap. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Actually, you have to go on Instagram to learn how these kids speak now because it's different.
See,
than
that's
when
my
we
problem.
Were kids.
I'm not on Insta. I don't know what's happening.
You're so behind.
I'm so behind.
Get with the times. You have to.
Apparently I do. Yeah. And I was born in the wrong generation. I should be churning butter.
I know. Actually, my kid did ask me last night if I rather have been raised in the 1950s. And I was like, why? He was like, things were so much easier then. And I'm like, We had to churn butter. Now we just go to Aldi's and buy it. You know,
are they learning that in school?
But not, because not in the 1950s.
I mean, not in the 1950s, obviously. Yeah. But I think he just, you know. The 1900s.
I absolutely wish that I had been born in an earlier generation. I was not made for this modern world at all in any way, shape, or form. But, okay, so I'm going to segue because we're going to talk a little bit about integrative care.
Yes.
So, Laura, why don't you tell everybody listening, like, what you do?
So, I have been a nurse for almost 18 years. The first 8.5 years was in oncology. I did palliative supportive care and helped with that transition to hospice. And then about 10 years ago, I went into functional medicine and holistic health nursing. So it looks very different than what I did on the unit, but I love it. It's something that kind of bridged two types of nursing and brings together a different type of healthcare.
Oh, interesting. Nice. I'm excited to dive into that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about what it was like being an oncology nurse. And then we're going to talk about what led you to want to change the way you work with patients.
Yep. And then the opportunity that she thinks exists in providing integrative approach for patients who are dealing with chronic health issues.
Yep. But before we dive in, let's hear from our first sponsor. Anne's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have 3 locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield and Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a 4th location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more. We're back. You've given us some background on your experience in healthcare. What did you enjoy the most about working with patients generally? I mean, you were in oncology, but what is it about nursing or oncology that you really enjoyed?
I've known that I've wanted to be a nurse since I was three. Aww. Literally always knew that I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. I think there's something very humbling when you are sick and you're needing someone to take care of you. And being that person that can help them in that time of vulnerability. I don't know. I have just always loved being a nurse. And the relationship-based care is, to me, where healthcare should be. Mm. I loved getting to know my patients. That was the one thing that was a little hard on the unit, is sometimes you didn't have a lot of time to get to know your patients. But in oncology, you know, some of your patients are going to be there longer if they're doing chemo or they're really sick. And so you get to know their families. And I got quite attached to quite a few of my families and quite a few of their families. And I've, you know, they became second family to me. I think the heart of nursing is to have that relationship-based care and have that time with their patients. And unfortunately, sometimes the medical world that it is now is really taken the nurses away from the bedside, doing busy work or seeing more patients, and you don't always get that time.
Yeah, we have nurses that are not only in our mentorship program through Faith Through Fire, but obviously that refer to us too. So if you're listening to this, just be encouraged that you really do make a difference to patients. Mm-hmm. They remember you. They may not remember your name or your face long term because we're all in that trauma llama phase. But you make a real impression on the people that you're serving. So hang in there, because we know it's not easy. And that's a good point.
When did you know you kind of wanted to make a change in the way that you were doing nursing? Like, obviously, you felt a pull towards having more of a relationship with your patients. But what maybe happened in your personal life to want to go there?
I will say first, when I was working as a nurse, I was seeing that when I was working as a supportive care nurse, I loved that job. That was a type of nursing where I didn't necessarily have an assigned amount of patients that I had to pass meds to. Instead, I was getting to go in and talk to them about that emotional side and that mental side of care that sometimes doesn't, you know, when you come to the unit, you're there to get physical care. Mm-hmm. And I loved that side of being able to sit and hold my patient's hand and really talk to them about their life. So that was something towards the end. And then in 2013, my husband got sick and we went to see 16 different doctors and he was put on 18 different medications and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with my husband. And unfortunately, the doctors just kept pushing it away that it was anxiety, or they never had a real reason. There was no root cause to all of his symptoms. And he had a 35, 40 pound weight loss. His heart would beat so hard at night, it would shake the bed. He had lost his job. My husband's a mechanical engineer, so like he had a very hard job. And at this point, we had a 2.5-year-old and a newborn. And even though these doctors, you know, they just unfortunately just kept giving him medications for the symptoms and never could give us the root cause. And one doctor said, "We know that you have something. We just don't know what it is. So come back in 2 to 3 years and hopefully your modern medicine will catch up to your body by then." And I looked at my husband and I saw that unfortunately the medical system had failed him and failed me. And I had worked as a nurse for all these years and I couldn't find out what was wrong with my husband. And so I helped get him off all of the medications that he was on, because unfortunately they were causing him suicidal thoughts. And I just wanted to be able to talk to someone, a physician or someone that could help us find out what was wrong with my husband and take the time to listen. And they didn't seem to have the time or take the time or want to take the time. Without me paying money. So we paid $15,000 in a 6-month time period trying to figure out what was wrong with my husband. And so one of my friends came to me and said, "Have you, you know, looked into other treatments?" And I was like, what are you talking about? We've already done supplements. We've done medication. She said, "No, have you thought about changing his diet? Have you thought about trying these supplements, these essential oils?" And I was very skeptical because we're not trained in any of that. But that friend bringing me this other option to start researching. So we changed my husband's diet. We got him on some supplements. We started using some essential oils for some of the neuropathy that he was having and some of the anxious feelings that he was having. And so, like, all of these symptoms just started to go away. We never did find out the root cause, but I will say that I think that he was having a lot. He has a very stressful job at that time. And I think that his body went into some type of autoimmune issue because of the stress that he was experiencing and wasn't dealing with. Mm-hmm. And he was also eating the standard American diet and was just causing a lot of inflammation. And it just seemed like all of these things at one time. And then, yes, we did have a 2.5-year-old and a newborn. So that's also a little stress.
Mm-hmm. I want to dive into that, like the role that nutrition and stress plays in diagnoses, because mm-hmm. that's something that Sarah and I are pretty passionate about. Before we do that, though, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
All right. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
Okay, I think this was kind of booby. So the headline is, "Cheers to being crooked again." Quirky English pub bulldozed after a fire to be rebuilt as it was. Okay, so basically, if you read the article, there was this pub and it was in Dudley, England. And July, last summer, in 23, it burned down. Okay. Well, apparently when it was built, like...
crooked?
They didn't have an engineer build it.
Yeah.
So it was built crooked. But because it was, like, a historical
monument
structure, they are saying you can rebuild it, but you have to rebuild it exactly how it was.
They made them rebuild it crooked.
So they're rebuilding it now, but they have to rebuild it crooked.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that silly?
Very.
That's being a boob.
So, and this story I found interesting coming right after. Yeah, totally a boob. It's coming right on the heels of me going to Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And we were, as we were walking around there, I was, I think, just overwhelmed by the fact that they really go to great lengths to preserve history mm-hmm. and like the look and the feel of things. And so after reading this story, I was like, at what point is that maybe going a little too far?
I mean,
there's a reason it fell down
code,
the first place.
Well,
first
it caught
place,
fire.
Right? Oh, caught fire.
It caught fire.
Is it obviously crooked? Like, is there a photo? Is it obviously crooked?
I mean, you can't really tell because this is it burned down.
Oh, I was going to say it's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Reading
where
it's like the front of the building and the back of the building were like that.
I mean,
so when you're in there, you're like drunk and you're like stumbling to the back of the pub.
It's not your imagination. It's not your imagination.
No, yeah.
You're actually stumbling.
Your equilibrium's off.
Yeah. I don't know who signed off on that project, but I guess you got to rebuild however you can rebuild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that that person's definitely a boob.
Yeah, totally. I think the whole town is kind of silly.
Yeah. Well, watch out.
I know.
You're going to get some hate mail.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. They're preserving history, which I got to respect. That's pretty cool. So
there's your boob.
Bibs in the News! Bibs in the News! Bibs in the News!
All right, we're back. Okay, so let's talk about mental health and its role in illness, because mm-hmm. I'm pretty convinced at this point with the people that come through Faith Through Fire that stress, trauma is a major part of why people are getting sick. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts on that?
Yep.
And nobody's...
yes.
And I think... And some people that come through, it's like they... I will ask them, has anything traumatic or stressful happened, you know, in the years preceding your diagnosis? And some people have some crazy stories mm-hmm. of really traumatic things, mm-hmm. right? Like the loss of a loved one or a spouse or a child or you know,
a stressful divorce. Or
stressful divorce, things that you would be like, yes, I get that. But not always. Like for me, I can look back at my life and know that the job that I was in was not serving me. It mm-hmm. was not in alignment with my values. It was stressful. I was dealing with a lot of unscrupulous people. And over time, I really think that whittled away at my immunity and my health. And mm-hmm. I really think that's a big part of why I got sick. I suspect a lot of people in the medical community would kind of poo-poo that. But I wonder what you think about that. Because you mentioned your husband had a very stressful job.
Yep. No, I would definitely agree with that. And actually, on my intake form, I have it's a very, very in-depth intake form. And in the back, it talks about trauma. Mm. And if you've experienced trauma within the past 5-10 years, and if they want to discuss it. And most of my patients check yes. And
I think that's interesting because I think a lot of people have experienced trauma and don't know that it's trauma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like when I talk to women, they'll be like,
oh, well, I'm fine.
My life is great. Everything's perfect. And then it's like, oh, but my son did almost die in that car accident. And mm-hmm. oh, my sister did die during that time. And oh, yeah, our basement flooded and my husband lost his job. But I'm good.
Yeah.
And they don't
they push it down. Or they just don't recognize it as
or
trauma.
Because they're very resilient. They're like, you know, that's life, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it is, but it still impacts us.
And I think also in the older generation, they've been taught to, you don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, push. If you're not strong, you're weak if you talk about it mm-hmm. or if you acknowledge it. And
that's not even older generations. I was like that. I was like, yes. Put your big girl pants on and quit complaining. Sarah and I have been doing this for a matter of like 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like becoming very evident that trauma and mental health needs to be taken into account mm-hmm. when doing people's assessments. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me that it's not a part of cancer care.
You know, you're right. I think it is crazy that it's not part. It's almost as if they don't want to acknowledge it, that could be one of the issues right. or the root causes of it.
Right.
And it's also uncomfortable. A lot of times people don't want to talk about that type of, I don't know, they'll just kind of push it on a counselor, go see a counselor, go see the psychiatrist or take some medication. My biggest referral partner, people that refer to me, are counselors. Mm-hmm. And then right back at them. Mm-hmm. The number one referral that I give mm-hmm. are to counselors, mm-hmm. specifically counselors that are specialized in EMDR. Mm-hmm. That type of counseling for trauma has been very powerful for mm-hmm. my patients. And sometimes they don't even realize that it's trauma. I had a male patient a couple weeks ago say, I never cry. And he was bawling in my office. Mm-hmm. And I never cry. I don't know. And he had trapped trauma. So and just talking about it, it mm-hmm. was coming out. And he said, my wife doesn't even see me cry. Why am I crying in this office?
I'm so like, I think we might have talked about this before. So at Faith Through Fire, we will refer patients to EMDR because we do find mm-hmm. it super helpful, especially with the metastatic population. Mm-hmm. But in general, it's just a mm-hmm. really good modality. And when I was new to it, I had a counselor offer to give me a free session so that I could really understand what it was like. Mm-hmm. Because I like to try things before I refer patients, right?
Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, but I don't feel that traumatized. And I went in and we did our thing and I was really really intrigued by the whole process. Mm-hmm. But when I left for like 2 days after, I would like sporadically just start crying. Mm-hmm. And my husband's like, they broke you. Like, what's going on? Because I don't cry. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not a big crier. And I felt like 1,000-pound weight had been lifted from mm-hmm. my soul. And the anxiety that I was dealing with that they uncovered in that session never came back. And so I am a huge proponent mm-hmm. of EMDR. I think every cancer patient should get it. Unfortunately, I don't think the system's set up that way. Mm-mm. And so that leaves patients going out and trying to find this stuff on their own or mm-hmm. hopefully organizations like Faith Through Fire that can direct them to them.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise they don't know it exists.
Right.
You know,
I have a quite a long list of counselors that I've vetted beforehand, of mm-hmm. course, because I think you can't work on the physical if you're not working on the whole spiritual, emotional, mental aspect of it. It all goes together. One of the biggest tools that I use essential oils. When I started this, I started researching. I went to PubMed.gov. That's where in nursing school you always mm-hmm. go for your scientific articles. Right. And I actually started researching not only for my husband, but also I wanted to see other medical uses for it. And I got really interested and invested in trauma and essential oils. And so I did in my holistic nursing certification program, I did a whole presentation on psychoneuroimmunology, which just is the connection of your
I feel like we need so many more people in that field.
I know. Yeah. It's very, very – it was my favorite class I've ever taken in all of my years of nursing school. I did one on psychoneuroimmunology and trauma and ways to manage that. And people don't realize that there's other uses for essential oils for trauma that can help decrease cortisol levels and can help, you know, with releasing dopamine and serotonin and different things. You don't realize that the power of just smelling something and how the oil can, you know, it travels up your olfactory nerve to your limbic system, which is the part of your brain that controls your emotions, and how that can be a release for a lot of patients that had that stored, mm-hmm. those stored emotions that weren't able to cry, right? Or just the impact of like sound healing I don't know if you've had.
Sarah's a big.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a big sound healer. Love
yeah,
it.
And that is that frequency. People don't know that that's mm-hmm. actually a thing.
Sarah has a membership. So that's how hardcore. That's how hardcore Sarah is on sound.
Love it. Actually, every single one of my patients at the end of the care plan, I have a list of different referrals, mm-hmm. and the sound spa will always be for sound therapy.
She's great.
Because. Yeah. There's such a wonderful benefit for not only the trauma, the mental and emotional health, mm-hmm. but also for the inflammation. There's just a lot.
Well, I think I mean like this
that.
Is a little plug for the sound spa. You're welcome, Noelle. But like I think for me, I went because just checking out, you can't do it at home.
Right.
Like you cannot just check out at mm-hmm. home and meditate. And mm-hmm. there's so much research out there about meditating and just learning how to turn your brain off. And if I couldn't do it at home, I had to go find a place to do it, and I could do it there. So mm-hmm.
I also was going to say on the whole essential oils thing. So I have the frankincense, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's specifically meant to like calm you down, but I douse myself with it when I feel stressed and the family like hates the way, like everybody's like, oh, mom, you stink. There is something about using an oil that just immediately like grounds me mm-hmm. and then just makes me feel like present or just mm-hmm. calm mm-hmm. and it's just very strange. And so I probably overuse it because I will literally like smear it on myself, and then my kids are just complaining about the smell because frankincense is very strong.
It's like, that sounds like gold though too.
Yeah,
it's like,
it's
but like, I don't know how anybody would question that, because like just think about the way that you feel when you walk. Like I think about the way I feel when I walk into my grandma's house. Like I'm taken back to like the memories of my childhood, and I'm given a sense of calm and peace and comfort. Like
there was a study done in I believe it's Germany. I have the specific article. And it was when they used 2 drops of lavender internally in a capsule. They called it Celexin. And they compared patients that were taking that with another common anti-anxiety medication known as lorazepam mm-hmm. or Ativan. Mm-hmm. It's a very mm-hmm. well-known medication for anxiety. And they compared 2 drops of lavender internally in a capsule to that, and the patients were having the same benefit without the side effects.
Mm-hmm. And so, I was going to say, I took Ativan. I hated that drug.
Yes.
I did
like
too.
When I got diagnosed with cancer and I was getting a headache that would mm-hmm. not go away, she's like, it's anxiety. I was like, no, it's not. I don't get anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it was.
It constipated mm-hmm. me every time I took it.
I just felt high as a kite.
Yeah,
I took it one time, poop. And my husband's like, "Will you stop petting my sweater? Like, what's happening?" And I was just, I was like, not okay.
Yeah,
because I don't like taking stuff like that.
No, yeah, that medication can, and especially in higher dosage, they don't realize it, but it's very habit forming.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's scary.
It can take a while for patients to get off of it.
Oh,
and
don't
so
like that.
Having something like lavender. No, I'm not talking about the lavender that you get at, you know, the end cap of Target.
Right,
as much as I love the end caps at Target,
yeah,
that's not where I'm
going to
get essential oil, right?
Yeah.
I want to get one that's going to be more medical grade.
Yeah.
And, but if you're, especially if you're going to take it internally, that's,
I will
always say that.
Yeah.
But the fact that people can take 2 drops of lavender and have that same type of reaction or the response in their body of decreasing that anxiousness without having
the side effects.
Well, this
right?
wasn't an oil, but like when I, every time I go in to have my kids, mm-hmm. I had C-sections, I would get nauseous from the anesthesia mm-hmm. and I would spend the first few hours of their birth throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took away from the experience. You can mm-hmm. imagine.
Yeah.
So by my third one, you know, when I went in there, the anesthesiologist comes in and says, any issues? I'm like, it'd be great if I could just not throw up.
Uh-huh.
I've tried all your drugs before. It's not worked. And so they were like, well, we're actually doing a clinical trial right now where we can put a peppermint patch behind your ear.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And but if you do that, you can't get any of the anti-nausea medicine. I said, it doesn't work anyway. So sure. And they gave me that patch. Beautiful.
Yep.
Not a single problem with nausea. Now, I kept going, is this psychosomatic? Or, but I felt lovely. I got to enjoy her whole birth and first few hours of life. And I thought, what in the world? Why are we doing drugs if this works?
Yeah,
I know. Well, I will say that there's a lot of well-known hospitals that are starting to do a lot more research on essential oils for that very reason, to find out ways that we can do it.
Well, I wanted to go there. How much latitude? Because you mentioned that you started kind of doing essential oils like on the side at your job. And a lot of patients feel medically skeptical that their doctors can actually practice medicine, that they are restricted to these protocols and that they have to stay within the lines, and that if they bring them research that looks promising, their doctors are often turning them away or suggesting they not follow it because they don't know enough about it. What are your thoughts about that? Like, is there still room for doctors to work with patients about their care, or are you really restricted in the clinical setting?
Great question. That's one of the reasons why I opened my own clinic.
Right.
I think it's important that you should be able to advocate for yourself. And as a nurse, you should be able to advocate for your patient. And if there's something that you want to ask questions about, I think it's important that the medical community is always learning and is always willing to learn. But their best knowledge about a patient is from the actual patient experience. And also the patient, you know, they might have read something online and they want to ask questions about it. I would hope that that doctor would or that nurse practitioner would take the time to listen to the patient and say, hey, I don't know anything about that, but I'll look into it, or something that they don't just always put it down just because you Googled it. There's a lot to be said about patient experience and other experiences and other modalities. Science is actually really slow. And especially over here in the United States.
Yeah.
And in other countries, they've been doing it for much longer and they're having much better outcomes. And I think if we don't start asking questions and advocating for ourselves, that's when it gets scary. So, I mean, you're right. The doctors do know. They've been trained, right? But science is always evolving and they need to be able to take the time to listen to their patients' concerns and look for other options that maybe aren't just medication and pharmaceutical routes or surgical routes. There's all kinds of other alternative therapies that are wonderful. And sometimes it's about the quality of life and not just the quantity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the medication is focused on the quantity, but the quality is not there. And there's so many other alternative options out there. And we actually have some really great professionals here in the St. Louis area that are doing alternative therapies to, you know, whether you're doing the conventional chemotherapy or not, but they're there to help answer questions and support the patient in whatever they choose. I think that's what's really important. As a healthcare professional, I want to educate my patient of different options and then leave it up to the patient that they get to make those. It's their body. They get to make those decisions. What they and their loved ones decide, it's up to them. And I shouldn't be pushing them one way or another. I should just be educating them and empowering them to make their decision. And whether they go, you know, the conventional way or they want to do the alternative, I'm there alongside them to encourage them and to be there if they need me.
I think that's what I found really interesting about you is that you provide kind of this whole report after you see somebody about, like, here's what you said and here's what you could potentially do. And you kind of describe, like, here's what this supplement could do for you. Here's what this oil could do for you. But really, it's presented in this way. Like, I feel like when you go to the doctor's office, they're like, called you in a prescription.
Yeah.
And then you're left to read that gigantic small print thing all on your own. And you do a really good job of kind of like explaining about, like, this is why you would want to take this. But
I was going to say, my husband, the last time he went to his doctor, Walgreens called and they're like, hey, we have your prescription. He's like, what prescription? They didn't even talk about it. No. His doctor called him in something. Yeah. He's like, I'm not taking this. This doesn't even make sense.
I mean, I'm sure that's happened to everybody. I mean, I've got a story where he's like, I'm going to take some blood. And he tells me what he's going to take. And they took different things than what he told me he was going to take. And I mean, that, you know, whatever, it's shocking when you see that. But I just think that, like, when you just have that relationship where you can fully, like, communicate everything,
you can't make an educated you can't make a decision for yourself if you don't know everything that's out there. Yep. But if you're it's just how hard, because everybody's got their lane. Everybody's got their lane. Okay, so we're gonna wrap up, but before we do, let's
we can go on all day.
I love talking about it though Let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
We're back. Any final words in terms of patients and how they can advocate for themselves?
I think it's really important for you as a patient to feel heard and seen. You're not just a number. You're not just, you know, I have to get through these many people a day. And so you shouldn't be feeling like you're inconveniencing someone by asking them a question and really stating your fears. Sometimes when you only have 15 minutes with your provider, it can be very frustrating. And especially if you have brain fog, you leave and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Finding a provider that will take the time to listen and make you feel seen is super important and willing to walk it with you. I've had many patients that have gone through or are currently going through treatment right now, and I'm not there as a replacement for a doctor, right? I'm not a nurse practitioner. I don't write prescriptions. What I'm here is to help with the lifestyle changes, with the support, to listen, to cry, because when a patient cries in my office, there's 9 times out of 10, I'm tearing up myself because I'm then the empathetic crier. But it's because I truly care about them getting better. I want them to feel worthy, yeah, seen.
Love it. Can't say it any better.
Lauren, where can people find you?
So I have a clinic in the lower level of the St. Luke's building in Wing Haven in O'Fallon, Missouri. And so if you go to my website, hansenholistichealth.com, you can schedule an appointment there and we can hopefully help you feel better.
Cool.
Heard. Seen. Great.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.